I'm going to talk to you a little bit about suicide prevention today. So thank you for coming and being open to having this conversation. It's an important conversation that we do need to have. My name is Marnie Shore. I'm a teaching artist and an art therapist, and I am also a suicide attempt survivor. Right about the time when I had moved to the Berkshires about a decade ago, I was going through a really difficult experience in my life. I was going through a divorce, and I had moved away from family. I had lost my pet of 15 years. I had had to leave a job, and it all seemed to just be piling up on me at once, and I really didn't know how to handle it. I was in a lot of emotional pain that seemed greater than anything else, and I felt like a burden on family and friends, and I got the idea that the world might be better off without me, which I know differently today, but I share that because there are many myths that people have about suicide that we need to talk about and have a conversation about so that we can understand it better and to help our young people. After that period of time, I didn't really think that I would be pursuing my career direction as a therapist. I was working in homes with families, and I had a burnout, and I had decided to just go back to my roots as an artist, and I opened an art studio in the community, and I began teaching enrichment classes so that people could use arts as a way to heal. And not long after that, I was approached by Berkshire Health Systems about starting an arts-based group for young people who had experienced suicidal thoughts or who had survived suicide attempts. And it was the first time in my life that I realized that some of the things I had been through were a gift, and that my experience as an attempt survivor was valuable and something I could use to help others. So what we did was we started talking to a lot of people in the community, youth leaders, artists, educators, therapists, the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention, and the Department of Public Health, and even the State Senate, to come up with a program to help young people through the arts who were struggling with suicidal thoughts. And what I found was that our community was very hungry for this. We wanted to do something about this, and it blew me away the way everyone stepped forward, found a way to fund it. And we started out with 3 young people, and within a year and a half, we had 48 walk through the door. We more than tripled in size in our first year, and the word spread pretty quickly. And we have a lot of young people coming out now and making it a little bit easier for them to come out and talk about it. Since we started in the last 18 months with 48 youth, I'm proud to say we have not had a single suicide attempt so far. Our average reduction of suicidality is 76%, which is absolutely outstanding. And I often feel that is a divine intervention that's happening here in our community, because this isn't really a career for me anymore. It's a calling. And it makes so much sense for me that I'm here today to talk about that. I wanted to tell you all about some of the statistics, and I know it's hard to hear, but we should be aware of the fact that in the last decade, the suicide rate has skyrocketed, and particularly amongst youth. 1 in 6 high school students have attempted suicide, and more than half are with firearms. In the country, yeah. I don't have particular statistics in Berkshire County. Massachusetts is actually one of the lowest in the country, which is the good news, is that our state is doing something about it. Unfortunately, in Berkshire County, we are the highest in the state. And some of that has to do with the fact that we're a rural community. But we're working on that. And I think that number is going to change. Some of the things that our youth are facing right now are what's driving them to feel suicidal. And there's a myth that feeling suicidal means you have a mental illness. And what the suicidology experts are saying is people feel suicidal when they've hit their pain threshold. They just don't know how to cope anymore. And they want relief so bad. And what happens is physiologically, we go into that state of fight, flight, or freeze, where we can no longer access our judgment and logic in the left hemisphere of our brains. So this is more of an injury that happens than an illness. And it's really important for us to break the stigma about that, that this can happen to anyone. Because as a community, we are all traumatized by different things and have a response to that that we don't know how to handle. And some are more sensitive to that. Some of the things that they're dealing with that are causing this pain are things that we can barely figure out how to handle as adults. The bullying that's happening, the domestic violence and sexual assault, substance abuse issues throughout the country, firearms, the racism, the prejudice, the confusion about gender identity or sexual orientation. Do we know how to handle this? Can you imagine what it's like for our youth? I'm just curious in this room, how many of you know someone that has been affected by suicide? Could we do a show of hands? Yeah. And how many of you feel you know how to talk about it? Not too many. Do we know what to do if a young person comes to us with suicidal thoughts? We need to have that conversation, and I'm hoping to give you guys some ideas about that today. Another one of the myths that we need to break is this idea that suicide is selfish. Because like myself, most people who feel suicidal feel that they're a burden on people and that their families would be better off without them. And we can change that perception by learning how to talk about it so that people don't have to feel that this is their unique problem, but really is something universal that so many people struggle with. Some of the risk factors for youth have to do with relationships. We're living in a digital age where so many kids are isolated on their phones. And they're missing that face-to-face connection. And I think that is a factor in why our suicide rate has increased so much. A lot of times on social media and at the isolation that they're feeling, they feel excluded, alone, rejected, and they don't know how to talk about it. Walking around on our phones doesn't exactly teach us social skills. And that's something that we need to help them learn. And of course, that young people matter, that their voices matter, and that they can make a significant contribution in the world. And I think we've been seeing that more and more, and it's a really good time to encourage our youth to have a voice. I'd like to share that what we've been able to do in the Arts and Recovery for Youth program is find a way in, a different language that feels really safe, and that's through art. By making art, people are able to express feelings and urges that they might have in a safe way. It's non-threatening. We don't have to worry about how people are going to react when we tell them our thoughts and feelings. And we have a container to put it in. In our program, we encourage mastery and choice, making decisions about what we're going to do with the program and how it's going to grow. We also work on developing peer relationships and a sense of belonging. Having a sense of belonging is another one of those really big interpersonal risk factors. That when you don't feel that you fit in anywhere, it's that much easier to feel vulnerable to suicidal thoughts. We're all here today absorbing a bit of a sense of belonging. Our youth have had a lot of pride in the program, which actually really surprised me. They're proud to be a part of it and to represent it in our community. And I think part of that is because it's a place where, like my story, they realize that their lived experience is valuable and can help other people. Some of the artwork that we have here today have remarkable stories behind it of our young people. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about one or two of them. I'm going to use some aliases because we want to protect everyone's identity, especially if they're not here today. So I'm going to talk about a 15-year-old named Renee. And she had come to the Arts and Recovery for Youth program after losing a couple of family members. And she was grieving. And she told me she felt very socially awkward. She came in with her head down and her hands shaking, and she wouldn't speak. The young people tried to engage with her, and she was very guarded. But she continued to show up, and she was a prolific artist. And she sat with her sketchbook and drew all the time. And she didn't have to talk. She could just make some art. So after about 6 months in the program, she began to open up and make friendships in the program and share her story. She also began to make some more empowering choices in her life and at home. And her suicidal thoughts decreased. She started attending a community events and offered to intern with artists at our art studio. And she became empowered by art and relationships. Renee and five other youth actually came to the State Suicide Prevention Conference with me and sat at a panel and told their stories before a group. I couldn't have been prouder. Kelly is a 16-year-old that came into the program. And at the time, she was doing a lot of self-harming and some sneaking out behaviors and just some real rebelliousness. And it seemed very out of character to her parents that she was doing this, and they didn't understand why. And what they didn't know is that she was hiding that she had been sexually assaulted and tried to kill herself. Her behaviors were a response to this trauma that she didn't know how to manage. But over time, she was able to talk about it with peers her own age and find out that quite a few others had had similar experiences. She began putting things into her art and writing poetry about her experience. And participation in the program in collaboration with parents, opened a door for her to be able to tell her parents what was really going on. And together they engaged in family counseling. She graduated the program and got very busy at life. She got involved in martial arts, volunteering at the police department, attending college and high school at the same time, and hasn't had a suicidal thought in 9 months. She's also stopped self-harming. Her poetry has been shared on Instagram, and she hopes to publish and continue to spread messages of hope through poetry. And if it's all right with you, I'd love to just read one poem that really moved me that she wrote in the program. And it's called One in Three. One in three, think about that. How many girls do you see just in one day? Now think, one in three could be you, could be your best friend, a mother, someone's sister, aunt, grandmother, cousin, How many girls in your family alone? Now think, 1 in 3. 1 in 3 girls are raped, sexually harmed, assaulted, abused. Just think, that's 1 in 3. And I survived it. I'm not alone, neither are you. That was so powerful for her to be able to put down in words. And she's done a lot of healing. And she's participating in a very healthy romantic relationship today, I'm proud to say. What these youth have in common, among with all the other youth in our program, is that they're developing resilience. Resilience to life's adversities. They're able to tolerate their emotions a lot better and to become empowered to make good decisions because they're able to talk about what's going on, use art, recover, develop peer relationships, and step up into the world. And we follow them in our program. We send caring contact cards and have reunion events. And we are sort of a pay it forward program. We're really trying to get out there into the community and spread the message. And also about our success. I have some literature for you guys today because I want to talk about a couple of things that might help you learn how to help young people and prevent suicide. First of all, we need to change the way we talk about it. We need to normalize instead of symptomatize. Feeling suicidal is a response to a person's pain threshold. It is part of the body's fight, flight, or freeze system. It is not a deficit of will. It is a deficit of skill. We can talk to youth and listen. We need to be approachable and not overreact or, shouldn't say overreact, explode on them. A lot of kids don't want to tell their parents because they're afraid of the reaction. So that means we need to be calm, concerned, and compassionate. Not judge, moralize, shame, stigmatize, make promises or ultimatums or manipulate. Instead, what we should do is ask the hard questions. We have to be able to talk about what's going on, and the suicidology experts say that the best way to do that is direct. Have you been having suicidal thoughts lately? Do you have a plan? Can we talk about it? Another thing we do in the program to get youth to talk is ask them what they think is causing them to be suicidal. One of the questions we ask are, what are the 2 biggest problems that you think are driving suicidal thoughts? And they know. No one's asking what the problem is. They're treating the symptoms, but not the cause. So you can ask a young person, what are the problems making you feel this way, and how can I help you to solve them? That is a really good step forward, because suicide is preventable. It's also important that we're able to pay attention to signs and cues. Physiological changes that happen when a person begins having suicidal thoughts might include a loss of appetite, change in sleep pattern, change in body temperature, anxiety, headaches, feeling sick, shutting down, isolating. And of course, behavior changes, sometimes acting out. All of a sudden, your peer relationships are changing. You don't want to participate in things, or you just don't find pleasure in the things that you once did. These are some of the cues that we can pay attention to. We can also challenge our own biased beliefs and reactions by doing some self-examination and self-reflection of what we think about it and challenging ourselves to be more open-minded, to educating ourselves, perhaps getting counseling, and of course, listening to the stories of survivors. And number one in our program is safety. Simply helping keep youth safe. Whether that means making sure they're not attended, removing things in the house that could be a trigger, or just checking in. Are you feeling safe? How can I help you feel safe? Because it is our responsibility to help them. They are the next generation. And they may be able to open doors about this and really change things if we support them. And of course, encouraging creative self-expression. As I mentioned, the arts are a wonderful language for youth to be able to channel how they feel, for all of us to be able to channel how we feel and have a sense of healing. You'll see their art out here today has a lot of hope and a lot of color. Things that they have learned in the program, and my art as well, which is a reflection of the joy and fulfillment that I get from working with them. Most importantly, if you know someone, reach out and please encourage them to talk about it and to know the resources that are available to you. We have some of those resources on our handouts. And to focus on reasons for living. Because this has become my number one reason for living and has really truly saved my life. You can also get involved, help spread the word about this program, volunteer, contribute. We're always taking donations of art materials. And some of them are pretty everyday items like glass jars or, you know, pipe cleaners. I mean, we can really make a lot of upcycling in the studio. And I think that's pretty much what I have to share with all of you today. I know it's such a hard thing to talk about and such a hard thing to hear. But my message of hope is that if we do open up and learn how to talk about it, we can change the state of things, and we have an opportunity as a community to do that. So I'd like to end with a prayer, if that's all right with you. And I'd like to thank you all for listening. Dear universe, higher power, God, we ask you to watch over our youth and give them the words to reach out to us. We ask you to give us the words to open the door for them to reach out. Give us the strength to come together and to make a difference. Amen. Thank you.